been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look for these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Amen. May God add his blessing to those of us that Amen. Are able to hear it.
Amen. Thank you. Well, kind of the same thing happened to me on Father's Day that happened on Mother's Day, when the text that was coming up next kind of fit the occasion that we were going to be talking about. I don't think I'm forcing anything when I share with you this morning that I think this text in 1 Peter lends itself to what we ought to be like as dads and those who have influence over those around us. You know, just recently I found a penny, a 1942 penny. I thought, ooh, I wonder if this is worth some money. So I looked, and instead it was worth anywhere from 3 cents to a few hundred dollars, depending on what markings you have in your penny. Well, I haven't looked back at the penny yet. It's still sitting in the console in my truck, separate from the other pennies. Thinking, you know, hey, Dave, maybe I can take my wife out to eat or something with a penny. But it may have a lot of worth depending on how it's marked up, and it may not be worth more, but it is worth triple what it was worth in 1942, at least. So I'm at least three times more wealth, at least in regards to the penny, than I was previous to having that penny. You know, time does tend to determine the value of things, when you think about it. Some things devalue over time. Sometimes things are of less worth the older they are. And yet there are some things that tend to have more value as time goes on. Certain antique items. Folks, those of you who are 65 or older, we're worth more than we were back then. We're antiques. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Sometimes vehicles have more worth the older they get, especially if they're in fairly good shape. Other things might have more value. But all these things that we think about will eventually have no value. Eventually. People have value. Kids have value. What is invested in them can have eternal value. And there's where I want to go this morning, because in this text that we read last week, we were talking about this wonderful gift of salvation and the fact that we are filled with an inexpressible joy, even though we don't see Jesus right now. We're just elated to be in relationship with him and know that one day we will see him again. Now, in verse 10, Peter is reminding us of this salvation. Concerning this salvation, he says in verse 10, the prophets, that's those hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth as a babe in Bethlehem, they spoke of this grace that we're referring back to in the text too. This grace that was to come to you, searching intently and with the greatest care. They were looking for this, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You see, in the Old Testament, in many, as I've said in the past, there were many, many prophetic statements about this Messiah that was to come. And there was such detail in these prophetic statements that you could have, without a single verse of the New Testament, painted a pretty clear picture of what actually happened when Jesus came and when he died and when he rose again. Just from the Old Testament, not a verse from the New. And I think that's utterly amazing. But the prophets spoke of something that had not yet happened. And some people called them crazy. Some people thought they were nuts. Some people were like, what are you talking about? And I don't even know for sure if they knew what they were talking about. But what they were doing, maybe unbeknownst to them, is they were leaving a legacy. They were sharing words from their mouth that had eternal value. And generations later, here we are, literally thousands of years after they said what they said, and we're proclaiming the truth that they spoke many, 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 many years ago. When I think about that, I also think about us as people living on this earth, whether you're a dad or a mom or an uncle or a neighbor or whatever the case may be, of some of the things that we do and the things that we say. A lot of the stuff isn't going to last. Some of that stuff can last for eternity. What are we leaving? The prophets spoke long ago with all these prophecies. And probably didn't understand their significance. But the same, get this too, what he says here in this verse. We miss some of these sometimes as we walk through these verses. We miss it. But it says, the Spirit of Christ spoke to them. And the same Spirit of Christ speaks to us. What a connect there, huh? The Spirit of Christ spoke to them, and the Spirit of Christ speaks to us. They spoke of his incarnate coming, and they were intrigued about the when, just like we are. You know, so many times when we are investing ourselves in someone, in our children, in our grandchildren, we want the fruit to happen right now, don't we? I want all my kids and all my grandkids, I want them to know Jesus now, and I want them to have a dynamic and vital relationship with them right now. And yet God works in time and in ways that we don't even see and don't even know. In fact, oftentimes is experienced long after our death. But that being said, if you and I are planting eternal seeds, the fruit is going to bear at some point in the future. Don't give up, folks. Let's never give up on kids, never give up on our grandkids, never give up on the neighbor that you've been praying for years and years and years and years. In this church, we have experienced some people who have come to Christ way late in their life. And most people would have said years before it happened, that ain't ever going to happen. But God worked. God has done some wonderful things. I've had the privilege of baptizing a man who for years was the drunk that everybody knew about. And he came to faith in Jesus Christ real late in his life. Folks, I'm wondering if Al's parents or grandparents had prayed for years. I mentioned his name. He's gone now, so he doesn't care. And so does his wife, so it doesn't matter. Prayed for him that one day he would come to Christ. At the time, thinking there ain't no hope. But there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Never give up. It was revealed in verse 12. It says that these prophets were not there to serve themselves and their contemporaries, but he says right in the text, they were there to serve us, or at this point in time, the church that Peter was addressing. He said they were there serving you generations later. The song we sang about being blessed to 1,000 generations. When you think about the legacy that you leave, if it's a positive legacy, if it's an eternal legacy, yes, it's also marred with sin. Yes, it's also marred with our mistakes. But when you think of the eternal legacy that you can leave, how the seed of that legacy could last for many generations beyond. Isn't that awesome? Just like these prophets of old, We're leaving a legacy, and we're sharing something that even they didn't know fully about, and we have even a more clear understanding now because we can look back and see what he did. They had to look forward to something that hadn't quite happened yet. We have the privilege of looking back at it and saying, yep, it did. It did. But godly fathers and mothers and those who influence those around them are doing the same thing, investing spiritual truths to the children. In verses 13 and 14 in that text, here's what Peter is telling us we should do. He's saying, really, we ought to live it even more than we speak it. A lot of people speak words, but what really sticks is if those words have feet and hands and action. I know a lot of people can speak truth, but I sometimes wonder if they even believe it. We can quote scripture. Do we live it out in practice? Both are important, because we need to know what God's word says. But then we don't just want to know what it says. What's that say to how we live it out? I've told you many, many times before in my 20 years of ministry here, I'm a simpleton. Some people try to impress you with their immense intelligence about God's word. And I just look at God's word and says, live it. Live it. I already believe it. Live it. By loving and caring and doing and being and being holy like God is holy. And seeing if my life matches with what the Word of God says it should, and do it. But godly parents are doing the same thing as the prophets were doing, as they share these eternal words with their kids and their grandkids. And they ought to be not just speaking it, but living it. Not do as I say, but not as I do. As Christians, we ought to be doing what we're saying, too. Tells us in that text, prepare your minds for action. We need to be ready for the fight that we're in. We need to be prepped for that. We need to have the tools, and the tools come to us from God's word. And if we don't know God's word, we're not really very able to fight the good fight and finish the race. It says in that text, too, in 13 and 14, be self-controlled. There's a piece of this that we're involved in. You know, we don't just say, hey, God, just do it. God says, I want to do it through you, which means you have a choice of whether you're going to do what I want you to do or not, too. Being self-controlled, folks, in a world that's constantly giving us things that they want us to do, and many of the things are not of God. Another thing a godly parent would do is set your hope on Him. You know, my hope is entirely on Him. So when I look at what goes on in the world today, and sometimes bad stuff happens, and it's horrible, and we want to pray, my hope is not in this world. My hope is in Him. And when we let our children know and our grandchildren know and their children know that our hope is in Him, we know that they can weather no matter what happens in this world. That's what the prophets were telling those in Peter's day, and by extension, those in our day. Our hope is set on Him. And then there's a don't in those same two verses. And he says, here's the don't. Don't conform to the evil desires when you lived in ignorance. Because, folks, we are no longer in ignorance, are we? When we know what we should not be doing, then we should not be doing it. Don't treat grace so cheaply that we say, I think I'm going to go sin a few times today. But at the end of the day, God, you are so gracious. Forgive me for what I did today. That's cheap. Now, granted, as hard as we try, we still sometimes are going to fail, and we're still going to fall short of the glory of God. He told us so. In fact, he said, those of you say who don't sin, you're liars. You do too. That's what 1 John says. We've been through that. So don't treat his grace cheaply. He paid a huge price for us. And so let's desire to be holy because he is holy, which is in those next two verses. The call is to holiness. We sometimes neglect that. We just kind of want to live our life. And as we fail in our life, then we ask God to forgive. Then we go out and keep failing in our life and ask him to forgive. And you know what? He does. But he says, if you want to really have joy, if you want to really have satisfaction, then be holy. Live your life the way I want you to live your life, and then you're going to really find satisfaction. Then you're really going to find joy and happiness. So what are we doing, guys and gals alike? We're leaving seed for the future, fruit for the future, when we live our lives in him today. Are we truly producing that fruit? Is it rotten fruit sometimes? Sometimes when you go to the store and you grab a pint of blueberries or strawberries and you open up the package and you notice one of them's rotten. If you leave that rotten strawberry in there with the rest of the strawberries, what happens with the next day or two? The ones around it are rotten. So what I oftentimes will do is when we go into the store and we get that and we come home and we'll take them out. In fact, Lisa likes to wash them too because of all those darn chemicals we've got. Take out the rotten ones and throw them away. The rest of them will last longer. Isn't that a lesson for us too? When we're producing rotten fruit, maybe we ought to say, God, forgive me. Take that away from me. Help me not to be a rotten fruit producer because it affects all the other fruit around me. Help me to be a good fruit producer. It'll last forever. So I end with this. Concerning this salvation that the prophets have all talked about, we too ought to make the same statement. Concerning this salvation, I want to share it with others so that they can know the same thing I know, that Jesus is the answer to all that ails me. Jesus is the answer to all that ails you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you and praise you for today, for life, for, like we said even earlier this morning, the fact that so many of us were born in a country of affluence. And yeah, some have struggled mightily. But God, we're still blessed to have lived here. Help us, God, to be like the prophets of old, sharing the warning of living a life against you, but also concerning this salvation, sharing the blessings that come to those who will give their life to Jesus Christ because he gave his life for them. Help us to influence our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors and our friends, maybe even more so, our enemies, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And thank you for that privilege. For it's in his precious name we do pray. Amen.